Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message. Turn to somebody else, tell them no matter what, keep your hopes up. Turn to the person behind you and just yell to the back of the building, hey, keep your hopes up. I dare you to just yell that in your neighborhood when you get home today. You say, you don't know the neighborhood I live in. Oh, every neighborhood needs hope, praise God. And so keep your hopes up. We're ending the first quarter of this year today. And I believe the next 9 months that God has a lot of great things that hope and faith are going to bring in to our lives. Luke chapter 19, verse 37, 38, NIV. This is going to be a mini-series, 2 weeks, this week and next week. And we've got big Easter coming up, but we're going to begin to prepare the way and prepare our hearts for Easter. Easter is not just a holiday. It is literally the celebrating of the resurrected Jesus, our King, who is alive today. So it's not something we just want to jump into on April 9th. Let's prepare ourselves for that. Luke 19, verse 37. And when Jesus came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully. Somebody say joyfully. They began to joyfully praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. So they are praising, they're getting joyful, they're getting loud for what God has done. But the triumphant entry is not about what God has done. It was about getting ready for God and what he was about to do. Before I finish this, can we just spend 10 seconds praising God for what he's done? Come on, 10 seconds. God, I thank you for all you've done, all that you brought us to, all that you brought us through. You've saved us, delivered us, healed us, restored us, reconciled us. We would not be where we are without you. We would not be who we are without you. We would not be doing what we're doing without you. Praise God. Now let's take another 10 seconds and praise God for what he is about to do. God, I thank you that you are in our future. I thank you that you are working in our tomorrow. You are the Omega to the Alpha. God, I'm grateful that we are a part of the greatest time period ever, that we get to preach Jesus. We get to show Jesus. We get to be a part of the miracles. Praise God. See, that means you're a disciple. We joyfully praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. And this is what they said: blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. I watched a video this week on things that churches need to stop doing in 2023. And number one on the list was, pastors, quit telling people in your church to turn to their neighbor and say, we are always going to be that church. Listen, some of y'all can't keep quiet in the movie theater. You can't keep quiet over dinner. We're not going to be quiet in church. We're going to talk to one another. We're going to talk to God. So turn to your neighbor and tell them, make way for the King. Find one more person and tell them, Jesus is on his way. Praise God. Man, y'all are alive today. Praise God. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. This is the time of year, every year, where we begin to hear things that draw our mind towards Easter, and we're hearing phrases. Now, if you're a shopper, H-E-B's been ready for Easter since February 15th, the day after Valentine's Day. They've been selling all of those nice Easter baskets, and they've been having all of the little chicks and the bunnies and all of those things, and so they've already moved on. Hobby Lobby, I'm sure in a couple months, will begin putting up Christmas trees. It seems to be earlier. My God, some of y'all are ready for Christmas. How many of y'all still have your Christmas tree up? Just raise your hand. Oh, we have some hands up. You're either really early or you're really late. I don't know which one, but that's cool. But we start leaning into Easter. And can I just tell you, the word Easter is a pagan word. I've never really got into the pagan things because a lot of our traditions are pagan. Easter actually comes from, this is not in my notes, I don't even know why I'm saying this, but I think it draws a little more attention to Jesus. Easter comes from the god of fertility, Ishtar. And the reason that chicks and bunnies are representative of Easter is because they are the most proficient at procreation. Rabbits become sexually mature at 2 months of age. And so that's why they reproduce at the rate they do. Chickens lay eggs every day. And so one chicken, some of them two a day, one chicken can be responsible for over 700 chickens every year. But we're not celebrating Easter. We're celebrating the resurrection. And we're celebrating Jesus. Now, in a town like San Antonio, a lot of you grew up Catholic, and we have what we've known as Holy Week. Now, Holy Week starts with the triumphant entry, or with Palm Sunday, which is a week from today, and that marks the entrance of Jesus into Jerusalem. And in that next 7 days, you're going to see Jesus go through a lot of different things. And so I want to encourage you, and we will celebrate the resurrection, and I want you to get cascarones and crack them, and I want you to hide Easter eggs, but I want us to remember that there is no resurrection without Jesus. There is no life without Jesus. Remember, Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life in abundance. And so if you are going to have eternal life, you have to have Jesus. If you're going to have abundant life, you must have Jesus. So in this portion of Scripture where we start hearing about this entry into Jerusalem, we see that there's dialogue between Jesus and his disciples, and we're going to break this down over the next 2 weeks. We see how the crowds reacted to Jesus. How many of you know that you can tell what kind of crowd you're in by how they react to Jesus? Just next time you're in HEB, just start saying Jesus. See what people do. Just start asking people, do you know Jesus? Do you love Jesus? You'll get some people that will have church in the tortilla aisle with you, praise God. Then you'll have some that will cuss you out. There will be some that want to fight you. The crowd always reacts to different. The next time you're at a dinner party, just start talking about Jesus, and you'll find out quick whether those should be your friends or whether those should be the people you're ministering to. And so we'll see how the crowds reacted. We will hear what the crowd said when Jesus showed up. And then we will even hear the conversations between Jesus and the Pharisees, or Jesus and the religious folk. Can I encourage you and remind you that it's not about a religion, it's about a relationship with Jesus. And some religious people have it wrong because they're following man-made things and they put their hope in religion. My hope is not in a denomination. My hope is not in a religion. My hope is in Jesus Christ. My hope is in his word, which never changes. It's the same, just like Jesus, yesterday, today, and forever. So as we dive deep into this topic in the next 2 weeks, remember that this marks the first triumphant entry of Christ into the world. But I want every believer in the room and online today to remember that this might be the first triumphant entry, but for us believers that said yes to Jesus, there was a second triumphant entry into our heart and ultimately our life. That's why we get excited when someone gets saved. And I, this is not in my notes, but I was thinking about this and praying about this right before I came out here today. The first triumphant entry, everybody celebrated Jesus showing up. The second triumphant entry, Jesus celebrates you for allowing him to show up. The Bible says there is joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. What does repentance do? It prepares the way and the road for Jesus to walk into your life, and not to just walk in and out. But Lord, once you come into my life, Lord, it was a triumphant entry, but it turns into a triumphant residence. I want you to live within me. If you know Jesus, somebody just celebrate the fact that he walked into our lives. But to be honest with you, I have found it odd that we have termed and coined the phrase triumphant entry. That is not a phrase that you will find in the Bible. It talks about the triumph and the triumphal entry, but the triumphant entry is not what this is called. This is a phrase that has been given to Palm Sunday and this event of Jesus entering. This has been given this phrase after the fact. This has been given this phrase by somebody that knows the end of the story. Because when Jesus came into Jerusalem, they thought he was getting ready to set up a real kingdom with a real castle that he was going to sit on the throne of. Little did they know that the next 7 days, they were going to see Jesus go through some of the most trying times that he had ever gone through. I want to encourage you. You're in the middle of your mess. You're in the middle of a struggle. You're in the middle of your testimony. But can I encourage you with this, and this just blessed me, that 30 years from now, the people that are able to look back at your life with 2020 vision, they're going to be able to call this season of your life a triumphant season, not because it was perfect, not because everything fell into place, but because you kept going in spite of it all. And just like Jesus had the joy set before him so that he could go to the cross, you're going to be able to look back over your life and say, wow, I didn't realize that in that moment when all hell was breaking loose, when I had every Goliath and giant facing me, that the heavens were already calling it, it's a triumphant entry. Could it be that your walk into the valley was not a walk to death, was not a dead man or dead woman walking? Could it be that all of heaven and the cloud of witnesses, as you walk into the valley of the shadow of death, are saying, look, Brandon's starting his triumphant entry? Could it be that when the doctors said what they said, that all of heaven is saying, could it be that all of heaven is saying, when that C word, cancer, is given, that all of heaven is saying, look, their triumphant entry has started. This is a moment for Jesus to walk in to their life. Triumphant entry. We call it in retrospect. This is the event that sets into motion, church, the chain reaction of the most horrific event in human history. Christ's betrayal, Christ's arrest, Christ's crucifixion, and Christ's burial. That does not sound like triumph to me. That does not sound like something to celebrate to me. And remember, no one else but Jesus knew that he was on the back of a donkey. And as they waved branches and laid their cloaks down, Jesus knew that there were some people there that were not going to understand that that donkey was taking him to a cross, that there was going to be some bloodshed, there was going to be some difficult moments. So the triumphant entry, it led him into the most difficult season of his life. However, church, the triumphant entry, it also sets into motion the greatest event in all of human history, the resurrection of Jesus. Some of us are trying to avoid the crucifixion so that we can get to the resurrection. But the resurrection doesn't work until something dies. There are some of us that are trying to avoid the dead experiences of life. There are some of us that are trying to avoid the valley experiences of life. But can I encourage you, the deeper the valley, the sweeter the next mountaintop. The bigger the Goliath, the bigger the celebration when he falls. And Jesus knows they're going to betray me and stab me in the back, but it's going to be triumphant. They're going to arrest me and charge me with nothing, and I'm not even going to open my mouth because I'm on my way to triumph. They're going to spear my side and nail me to a cross for no reason, but I'm on my way to triumph, so I'm going to keep doing it. And if you can't amen that, let's bring it down to you. You might be going through what you're going through today, but if you keep your mind on Jesus, you're going to make it to the other side, because you know that triumph is in front of you. It is not behind you. That God has something for you, and it's not all behind you. Which leads me to this point. Jesus is fighting to the cross. We as believers are fighting from the cross. Get that word now. He's fighting to it because he's the only one that could pay the price for us.
He's the only one that had perfect blood, never committed a sin, tempted at every point we were tempted at, but said no every time. Not only did he say no, he said things like this, "Get thee behind me, Satan." And then he would answer it with the word of God. He was fighting to the cross because he knows messed up Brandon can't get the job done. Messed up Living Way can't pay the price. So I'm going to fight through this so I can fight to the cross. But in 2023, no matter what happens, no matter what betrayal, no matter what accusation, no matter what crucifixion happens in your life, you are not having to fight to the cross. But as believers, we are fighting with the cross at our back, which means the power that was unleashed on the cross is now running through our veins, and we become unstoppable. Full transparency. Received some news, a couple things this week. Devastating news for our family that I'm not going to share right now. I will give you the testimony once it has already happened, but I am not scared. I am not fearful. I am not shaking. Why? Because there's a God that loves me. There's a Jesus that has already been to the cross. And though what I found out is trying me, trials lead to triumph. Trials lead to triumphs. We're a faith-filled family. We're a faith-filled family. You might get hit, and you just got to shake your head for a minute and be like, hold on now. If he did it before, he will do it again. If he brought me this far once, he can take me this far again. If he saved me, he can deliver me. If he saved me, he can heal me. God didn't do everything he did. God didn't put Jesus through everything he put him through so that we would wuss out and wimp out in 2023. I'm here to tell you, resurrection is here. Triumph is on God's mind. And if you can get it in your heart, it doesn't matter what is standing between you and triumph. You will make it through it all. We use that word, that verb crucify. Man, I've been crucified. Listen, we've never been crucified like Christ has been crucified. Paul said it like this, we are crucified with Christ. I want to encourage you today, the crucifixion that you go through, and you say, what do you mean when you say you're crucified? When people take stabs at you. When people try to nail you to your past. When people mock you. When people come at you, no matter what they do, it pales in comparison to what they did to Jesus. Because I'll be honest, when some people come at me, I deserve whatever they're saying and whatever they're doing. Jesus went to slaughter as a sheep dumb, which means he could have spoken, but he did not speak. Why did he do that? He did that because you and I could not pay the price. But he said, I'm going to come into this city, and by the time I get done with this city, I will have been beaten, I will have been killed, I will have been buried, but Sunday is coming. And when Sunday gets here, they will find out why it is a triumphant entry and not a dismal entry, not a disappointing entry. We call the Friday before Easter Good Friday. Nothing was good about that Friday unless Sunday happens. That's why I'm imploring you today, don't flake out now. Don't jump out of the frying pan into the fire now. God has a plan for you. And we can call, Paul said, I enjoy, one translation says, the suffering that I'm going through. Why does he enjoy it? Because nighttime and weeping doesn't last forever. Joy comes in the morning. I can call Friday good because I know I'm going to make it to Sunday. I can call the struggle good because I know I'm going to make it to the other side. Turn to your neighbor and tell him Jesus is on his way. The greatest event in human history is set into effect because of Jesus. Why is this event called triumphant or triumphal? It is because it is a fulfillment of prophecy. Remember this, that God has already written your story. He's not surprised by what's happening in chapter 12. Come on now. God has already written the happy ending of your life. You say, how can you guarantee me a happy ending? Because as a believer, I know all of our ending is going to be in the presence of Jesus in a real place called heaven. At the end of all of this, with streets of gold, gates of pearl, walls of jasper, and mansions that he is preparing for us now. That is the happy ending that he has prepared. But can I encourage you, there's some happiness and joy on this earth that God has already written in your story. And what you are facing today, it might not seem good, but you need to start declaring, this is my triumphant entry. Because I allowed his triumphant entry into my life. So we're going to talk about the triumphant takeaways. Number one, God doesn't call you by your beginning or your middle. He calls you by your future. That's the reason we can stand here 2,000 years later in retrospect and look backwards and say, God, what a triumphant entry. Well, hold on a minute. He's about to pour out his blood. Oh, yeah, but I know he's getting up 3 days later. Well, hold on a minute. He's going to have a crown of thorns. Oh, I know, but he's about to get a crown of glory. Well, hold on a minute. Everybody's going to forsake him. Disciples are going to cuss people out and betray him. Some disciples are going to sell him out. Oh, yeah, but those are just the 12 initial disciples. There's 2 billion of us alive right now. I know how the story ends. And if I can encourage you today, God is not calling you by your past, your present, the beginning, or the middle. God is talking to your future. You ever be in a crowded place and somebody waves at you and you wave back and they go, they were waving to the dude behind you? You ever have a conversation with someone in an elevator? And they look at you like, what are you doing? Just to find out they got Bluetooth in their ear. Or they got their AirBud in their ear, the AirPod in their ear. Well, there's a lot of us that God talks to us and we're like, God can't be talking to me. That don't sound like me. Listen to what I'm going to say now. That can't be, God's saying things to me, but it's like he doesn't even know who I am. Could it be that you don't know who you are? Say that promise doesn't even make sense to me right now. Yeah, don't compare your promise by your current position, because your current position, the enemy always wants that to be adversarial to the promise of God. And so when you understand the way that they could call it a triumphant entry, we call it that looking backwards. The prophets in the Old Testament said that the king would come in riding on a donkey. It's not just the disciples that are saying, Jesus is here, waving branches. One translation says that the crowds ran out of branches, started ripping down trees, singing, here comes the king. Why are they saying that? Because when Jesus showed up on a donkey, the prophecy began to ring in their ears. Let me tell you something, Jesus is showing up. And Jesus is showing up to fill the prophetic promise that he promised over your life. That first one is salvation. If you don't know Jesus, you better let Jesus ride into your life today. You better let him walk into your life today. So here we are looking backwards saying it was triumphant because we know how the story ends. But there was prophets thousands of years before saying this is how you're going to know the Messiah shows up. This is how you're going to know the king shows up. He's going to come on a donkey. When he rides in, everybody starts talking. Can I encourage you that heaven has been hearing about you for 2,000 years? That Michael and Gabriel have heard about the promise of God for you, your children, and your children's children for millennia now. Can I encourage you that 100 years from today, we will be singing the praises of God, and you will be sharing your testimony in heaven about all God did for you. Can I encourage you? He is not talking to your present. He is not talking to your past. Those have already been taken care of. He is talking to you about your future. It's not God. I don't know that was for the person across the aisle. No, it's for you, but it's not for you in March of 23. It's for you in May of 24. But God needs to show you that vision so that you can begin to prep yourself.